Hi there, Ron Shera here for Star Bank. If you're putting your money into mega banks down the street, who knows where that money's being used? Bank locally. Keep your money local with a community bank that actually cares about you, your family, your business, and your goals. Check out the bank we use at Minnesota Bound. Try Minnesota's own Star Bank. You can find them online at starbank.net. When you call Star Bank, you actually hear a real living person answering the phone. Star Bank has 10 convenient locations around Minnesota to serve you and all the mobile banking products that you need to manage your money. Check out all that Star Bank has to offer at starbank.net. Hi again, everybody. Ron Shera here with another edition of your Minnesota Bound podcast. Thank you for joining us. Our topic today, it's a huge topic, but we're going to limit it to a few things, all about ice fishing. Now, and I have with me an ice fishing guru, so to speak. He's with the Clam Corporation, makers of all kinds of ice fishing gear. Matt Johnson is joining us. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being here.
You bet. How you doing, Ron?
Well, I'm doing all right. Now, you know, depending on when people listen to this and where they listen to it, we either have a lot of folks chomping at the bit for the ice to come on the lakes and rivers, or two, they already are ice fishing, depending on where they're at, or they're tiptoeing out on new ice, so to speak. But we'll assume that everybody is safe out there anyway. That's the first thing. But Matt, you've been with Clam Corporation for how long?
I started with them in 2012, formerly as an employer of Clam, or an employee, I should say. But they have been a sponsor of mine. Oh boy, it's been about 20 years now, so it's been a while. Great brand.
Well, so you came into Clam as a diehard ice angler, right?
Yeah, back in about 2001 was when I was formally introduced to the brand, and that was back when I was a fishing guide and worked some retail stuff and more on the promotional side, which, as you know, Ron, that never fades. You're promoting the sport of fishing always. But yeah, I came on more with a rod in my hand than with a pen or a computer at my fingertips. So worked pretty well.
What is it about ice fishing that attracted you personally?
Well, you know, I grew up in the north suburbs of the Minnesota Twin Cities area, and we didn't have a boat growing up. And once we had ice on the lakes, I know as a kid, it kind of leveled the playing field. We could hop in my dad's car, my brother would pile in, and we'd go ice fishing. We could drive on the ice anywhere anyone else could get. So we thought it gave us the opportunity to go out there and chase down fish that when we were from shore all summer, we couldn't get to. And I fell in love with it. It's an intimate sport. You're staring at a hole in the ice. You never know what you're going to catch most of the time. And I have that same passion. I fell in love with ice fishing young, and it hasn't changed, and I hope that it stays that way forever.
Well, ice fishing, of course, if you're a Minnesotan or Wisconsinite, anywhere in the northern states, especially the Midwest and the East Coast too, ice fishing is a long tradition. I knew a guy that loved to fish Mille Lacs, Matt, but he would never fish at Mille Lacs in the summer. He was afraid of that lake in the summertime, the waves, sure, et cetera, the weather. But when the ice covered Mille Lacs, he was out there.
Sure.
So kind of a difference. To most people, it's the other way around.
Yeah, Mille Lacs, as you know, it's a bugger. When you get some wind, I mean, we always joke, if somebody blows on one side of the lake, it's 2 footers on the other side by the time it gets there on Mille Lacs. So I can see that, but yeah, there's something majestic about ice fishing. Not to get too sappy, but there just is. There's some tranquility to the sport of ice fishing, and I think it's a comfort thing, and it's a decompression for many people. And I can certainly relate to why ice fishing would draw people to certain bodies of water where summer could intimidate you or scare you. So I feel where that guy's coming from.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and the point you bring up about solitude, and I hear that from a lot of people. They some ice fisherman joke, it's a time to get away from the wife and drink a bunch of blackberry brandy, you know,
sure.
things like that.
Yeah.
But clearly, I don't know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years perhaps, ice fishing has enjoyed, I guess I would call it a boom in interest. And do you confirm that? Do you agree with that?
100%. I think it still continues to be the fastest growing category of fishing. So, you know, in the sport of fishing, which is widespread from saltwater to bass to freshwater to Great Lakes, ice fishing continues percentage-wise to be the fastest growing category. And if you're attending ice fishing events or if you're going to a local lake, Ron, I've been an ice fishing guide here in the Twin Cities for 20 years. I can attest to that. The amount of anglers on the water is pretty, I should say ice, is pretty astounding. But yeah, you're seeing a boom, not just in eager anglers, but educated ice anglers. They are very savvy. They come to these sport shows and they understand the sport as well as the manufacturers do, where it wasn't that way as little as 5 years ago. So you're seeing not only a boom in anglers, but just the ability to understand the sport. And I attest that to, you know, good communicators like yourself, Ron, and all these assets that these anglers have at their fingertips, literally because of smart devices and social media and podcasts. It kind of drives that needle, and we're educating, informing, and creating good ice anglers right alongside us. So yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a boom, and I don't know if it's going to slow down. Not anytime in the next few years. I think we're going to see this trend for a little while still.
Well, you could be right. I think DNR has, their eyes got opened when they began to see that the winter fishing pressure on like Upper Red Lake in northern Minnesota was greater than the summer pressure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe even true of some other lakes. I mean, that is astounding when you think about it.
Right.
Obviously, the fishing's good or that wouldn't have happened.
Right. And the easeability of ice fishing. You don't need an expensive boat. You don't need, for the most part, I mean, you can buy some fancy gear. I think we know that exists in ice fishing, but you don't always need it. So a lot of families now are outfitting themselves as a Christmas present to the family, everything they need to go ice fishing and go ice fishing effectively. So I think you're seeing it grow because of the ease of accessibility and the availability of product. And these brands are just dialed. The industry is doing a great job of creating just good products at a good value to get people out there ice fishing and helping them enjoy the sport.
Well, Matt, you know, I got to say this. If you'd have told me 10 or 15 years ago, whatever it might be, that some ice fisherman would spend $25,000 for an ice fishing shack that he could haul out on the ice, I'd have called you the dumbest thing in the world. But my Lord, my eyes have been open for sure.
Yeah. I saw one, Ron, trick to the nines. It was going for $50,000, $60,000. And I know they sell more than one of those at that price point. It is crazy. The ice house boom, the hard-sided shack, we used to call them. Now they're mobile homes. They're nicer than my living room. And you can get out there and take the whole family. So if that's the route you want to go, you know, God bless you. It's a great route. It's comfortable. Yeah, you're right. You're seeing more and more of those, you know, we use the term ice castle loosely because it's like the term Kleenex now, that style of fish house on the ice everywhere, not just in the heart of the ice belt in central Minnesota. You go down in southern Minnesota, you're seeing them littered all over the ice down in Iowa, Wisconsin. So they're all over the place.
Well, some people use them as campers in the summertime too, I do think.
Yeah, you got air conditioners on them now. It's beautiful.
Well, in February in Minnesota, you just open the window, you'll have an air conditioner.
Absolutely.
I gotta say that, you know, that's a lot of money to haul out on the ice. And if you don't check your ice depths and if you don't know what you're doing, that'd be quite a chunk of money going down through the ice. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you have to know what you're doing, and that's something too, Ron. You know, with all the new anglers buying these shelters, these hard-sided shacks, there's a learning curve. It's not just something you hook up to your truck and go. There's a lot of things you want to pay attention to, not to get off topic at all. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of people just drive out, but safety safety first. Make sure you have good ice conditions. Make sure you check with local bait shops. Make sure you check with buddies that may already be out there before heading on the ice. That's always a good tip.
Well, Matt, we're going to continue our conversation here about ice fishing and where it's been, where it's going, and what's new as far as products, et cetera, sure, when we come back. But in the interim here, a word from Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed.
Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed Beef. You know, I make a career talking about clean water and native habitat and best environmental practices. And that's one of the big reasons I love Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed Beef. It is locally raised beef done differently. Let me explain. You see, Thousand Hills uses what is called regenerative agriculture to raise their cattle. Those beef cows, they graze in fields of wild grasses, and they move between lots of different fields. So it is a sustainable ecosystem free of synthetic fertilizers and all the chemical herbicides. It's a system of agriculture that promotes clean water, natural grasses, and guess what? The best beef you've tasted. No joke. My wife and two sons, we love grilling and smoking, and we do it several times a week. And now we cook with Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed Beef. Trust me, the Shirk boys cannot get enough. Beef raised the right way. Check out Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed Beef to understand regenerative agriculture and fall in love with Thousand Hills.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with Matt Johnson, who is, I guess, an ice fishing guru in Minnesota, also a longtime employee with the Clam Corporation, makers of all kinds of ice fishing gear and that most anglers know about. Matt, we were talking about the amazing boom in ice fishing and all the new the money that people spend on ice fishing, etc. But ice fishing is still can be a guy sitting on a bucket or a guy sitting in a $15,000 castle, which is kind of the beauty of the sport.
Sure. Yeah, you can. There's a wide breadth of product offering. And I tell you, you spend a day on the ice and walk around. I do that often. I like to just walk around without a rod in my hand and just survey the audience and maybe even chat with some of the local anglers that are out there fishing. And you do. You see anglers on a bucket with a couple jig sticks that probably cost them $5 a piece. And you see a guy and gal and family 40 yards away in a $40,000 fish house. And, you know, there's always that joke where it says, you know, what does it take to catch a fish, right? I'll tell you what, I've seen that guy on that little bucket outfish me more times than I can count. So it's all about, you know, a little bit more than just the gear you have, but it's an accessible sport. And if you want to invest in it, you certainly can. Trust me, I've been at multiple sport shows this year already, and I've seen anglers walk up to these tills with, you know, I always ask myself when I see them after they're done buying what they buy is, are they limited to a ramen diet now the rest of the month? Because they just invested a lot of money, which would be my entire paycheck, into the sport ice fishing in one sitting. So you can buy what you want and invest as much as you want. Yeah, you're right. It's all walks of life are out there ice fishing. It's fun. It's a level playing field, and it you can catch fish no matter how you do it.
Well, we're going to talk about lures and bait, et cetera, but I have to share with you, Matt, one story about, true story. I was on Mille Lacs one day. We went out snowmobiles and maybe four-wheelers, I can't remember. Anyway, we're out in Mille Lacs, and this is years ago. And way over about 100 yards away or so, there was a guy sitting on a bucket with a big old heavy coat. And I'd glance over at him once in a while, and he never moved. He just sat there. And so finally, I know fishing was a little slow, but back then I was a columnist with the newspaper, and you're always looking for something, you know. So I wandered over to the guy and started a conversation with him, and I said, hey, I said, I've kind of been impressed. I said, you've been sitting on this bucket for hours, and you've never moved. How can you be so patient? And he looks up at me. He's an old dude. He says, well, sonny boy, I imagine I'm looking at a giant martini and my bobber is the olive.
That's good. So,
that's a good one. Yeah. Well, Matt, you know, way back when ice fishing was basically
put a hook in a fathead minnow and dunk it down there and let it swim around and hope something eats it. That's still true in some ways, but oh my, a lot of anglers now go ice fishing. They don't even take live bait.
I would agree. I actually had this conversation last weekend at the most recent sports show I was at. And I don't know if I've purchased live bait to chase bluegills and crappies in about 10 years, Ron. Now, if you're walleye fishing or I guide for catfish through the ice, yeah, there's sometimes live baits needed. But yeah, we have such the diversity of jigs and plastics and offerings and things you can use to coax and trick these fish into biting without live bait. And it really works. If you asked me 15, 20 years ago when I started ice fishing, if I didn't need to bring a thing of maggots with me ice fishing, I'd look at you and say, why would I not bring the maggots? Now you don't need it. So, but you can. I mean, I always tell people it's a confidence thing. You know, there's no wrong way to go fishing. If it works for you, continue to use it. If your thing is a fathead minnow on a plain hook under a bobber and you catch some walleyes doing it, keep doing it. It's confidence. If you believe in what you're fishing and you go out there and you're having fun, there's no right or wrong answer. So, but you're right. You walk down an aisle of your local fishing store and it can be overwhelming for a new angler. It can be overwhelming for a veteran angler like yourself or me and walking in there going, oh boy, I didn't know half this stuff even existed. So we're pretty spoiled. We're very spoiled when it comes to ice fishing nowadays. We have about everything you could think of to catch fish and sometimes even the kitchen sink. So it's fun. It's definitely fun.
Your advice about do what works for you and enjoy it and don't worry about some of the other stuff is points well taken. I think sometimes we always think the other guy has better ways, better secrets, better tips than you do yourself. So sure. The main point, I guess, is to make it fun, enjoy yourself. That's what it is. It's not life or death out there.
Right. I would agree.
The other thing is I've thought about is we talked about lures. There's one lure, at least one that I'm familiar with, that went from ice fishing and became popular in the summer. And I'm talking about the jig and wrap, for example.
Yep.
That was initially designed for vertical fishing through a hole in the ice. And then some people smarter than me started using it in the summer and discovered walleyes love to smack those things. Is that the way you understand that story?
Absolutely. It's funny because I used to work at a retail store in the north part of the Twin Cities for many years. And John Nelson was a manager there and still is. And I remember there were some ice anglers. This was old boy, Ron, 15, 18 years ago, that used to call and ask for jigging wraps. And I always thought it was odd. And it was Nelly, John Nelson, who said, well, you know, those work all summer. Don't tell anybody though. So I think the hardcore walleye guys that did the tournament trail in the RCL days, I think they knew about that. I just don't think they were telling anybody. And then, mainstream media came along, social media especially. And next thing you know, everybody's taking their jigging wraps and there's a lot of brands that make them now. Clam makes the Tikka Minnow and you're out there. We absolutely crush fish in the boat with them. No bait, reaction driven fish. You have to literally forcep or plier these baits out of these fish's faces. They hit it so hard. So the beauty of these products is you're now buying something you use all year round. And I always try to tell anglers, as you efficiently make purchases, are there some efficiencies with your buying decisions that, hey, are you going to use this for 10 fishing trips? Or are you going to use this for 100 fishing trips? And in the lure world, yeah, you nailed it. That swimming bait absolutely has a place in your arsenal probably 12 months out of the year. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun to watch and fun to fish. Fish hit them hard. And yeah, it'll make a believe out of most people if you tie one on and rip it around for a bit.
Indeed. It's also, I think, it's not new anymore, but when it came out, the idea that you used to go out and you'd drill a hole or two and then you start fishing. And some people said, that doesn't make sense to me. Let's find the fish. So they would drill 15 holes or whatever it was and then go fishing using the electronics. That really kind of revolutionized ice fishing, I would say. It gave you more dexterity, is probably the wrong word, but more options in locating fish. Is that how you see that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of Dave Gentz's claim to fame, among obviously designing the fish house. The mobility aspect, you know, he didn't want to sit in one spot. And I always tell anglers the easiest way to make them understand this mentality, because you still see anglers, Ron, every weekend on the ice, drag their fish trap out there, punch their two holes, flip over the fish trap, and not move the entire time. And I always shake my head. Now, either they're on a really good bite, which can happen, don't get me wrong. They may be that good, or they're waiting for that sundown crappie bite. But if you're in your boat, you're a veteran angler. You've done it all, right? How many times do you pull up to one spot in your boat, let's say drop anchor or nowadays push spot lock, and sit there for 4 hours straight? No. You're trolling a weed line. You're working a dock line. You're moving from spot to spot. That mentality needs to carry through to the ice fishing world. And that alone, that one tip alone, can make an angler that's stuck in a rut or complacent catch tenfold what they've caught in the past just by moving around, chasing the fish, trying something different. And that alone can make a big difference. The age of mobility is nothing new, or the theory of moving to catch fish. But I'm seeing us start to digress a bit with these hard-sided fish houses, because they're back out to sitting in a spot because they're comfortable. And I'm seeing some of my good friends who were trained ice anglers go, I don't catch as much as I used to because I'm in my ice castle. But yeah, you're right. Moving around, chasing down fish, that's the rule. That's the rule of the game. And anglers that adapt that idea on the ice, you're watching them catch more fish and everywhere they go.
I think also the underwater cameras alerted anglers to the fact that fish sometimes react to cars going over the ice, or people stomping on the ice, noise mm-hmm. on the ice, and it moves fish or alerts them or scare. I don't want to use the word scare, but they certainly might impact your fishing success. So being quiet on the ice is probably good advice too.
Absolutely, and being quiet on the ice has a lot of meanings. It's sometimes the things we don't think about can impact fishing. One thing that's something anglers are catching on recently is ice cleats. You know, we have to have ice cleats to stay safe, but we've also seen them drastically scare or spook fish. Wow. And a lot of anglers aren't thinking in that regard. So there's a lot of things, a lot of variables to noise and how noise is portrayed. You know, some augers don't scare fish while others do. It's the way they transmit noise. But yeah, underwater cameras, it's a great learning tool. I always tell anglers, it's a great investment. It'll help you see what's going on, literally. It'll help you better understand your electronics. It'll help you understand fish reaction to lures. It'll help you understand if the fish down there are the target species, if the weeds are green. Because as you know, Ron, you can buy an underwater camera now that shows you color. So you can drop down there and say, okay, they're not dead weeds. They are green weeds. So that's a great learning tool, and there's a bunch of brands making these underwater cameras that fit in the pocket of your jacket. So now you can just walk around. My kids are a great example. I have three boys and a young girl, and I will cut a bunch of holes. Well, actually, I'm lying. I make my kids cut the holes, and then I hand them this little underwater camera and say, hey, let me know what's down each of these holes. And it's amazing what they learn by watching that underwater environment. And I don't think that's something a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old gets sick of. It's fun to watch those fish move around, and it will for sure make you a better ice angler.
I never get tired of looking at them swimming underneath there, no. For sure, just like a kid. Matt, yep. I'm going to take a little break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk about more of the electronics now in the ice fishing, and also a little fish conservation chit-chat sure. with you when we come back. But first, here's a word from Minnesota Propane Association.
Did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy two heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy, right now.
Connecticut. Do you know Connecticut? Well, the Shirks sure do. no secret. We live out in the country and we have plenty of that ironclad well water. You know what I'm talking about. We treat all of our water with a Kinetico whole home water treatment system. We also use Kinetico's K5 drinking water system. You know that white buildup you get around the faucets? We get none of that. Our dishes are clean. Katie loves what Kinetico water does for her hair and our skin. And our boys, they drink Kinetico water. No joke. Before they head to the hockey rink or to the soccer field, they 100% of the time have to fill their water bottles with Kinetico. I think that is saying something. The best part for me, we have well water that tastes great and the smell is gone. Call Kinetico like the Shirks did and look forward to clean, safe water.
All right, we're coming back again with more ice fishing chit-chat with Matt Johnson from the Clam Corporation. Matt, we talked a little bit about electronics. I think it's really added maybe not to the catching so much, but just the enjoyment of fishing.
Sure.
But you work for Clam. They're always on the leading edge of new products. Real quickly, what do you have coming down the line or this year for ice anglers to contemplate for new products?
Sure. I mean, I'm a huge advocate towards clothing. If you ever watched me give a seminar, the first thing I'm going to address is the importance of clothing, because it's great to have the coolest rod, flasher, fish house, but if you're not warm on the ice, it doesn't matter. So Ice Armor's got a handful of new suits, whether it's the new rugged Defender suit, which is built tough. A lot of our pro staff are gravitating towards that suit. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's a float suit. It's waterproof, windproof, and very rugged. We have the Edge X suit, which is the best of both worlds on the edge and the extreme, the ever popular blue suit and gray suit. We combine them into one. We have a suit, Ron, that we actually worked with all of our female pro staff on last year. We brought in a bunch of female anglers from across the ice belt, whether they're on our pro staff, leaders of certain organizations, and we did a focus group on, okay, what would be the ultimate woman ice fishing suit? And we created this suit based off of all their feedback down to the last little detail, and that's that new Women's Rise float suit. It's super cool. A lot of our gals are getting behind and wearing it, very comfortable. And then for the kids, was saying earlier, I have four kids I take ice fishing with me. Safety is always number one on mind. And we have a Youth Rise float suit. It looks just like mine. It's got all the cool pockets, the features. It floats. It's waterproof, windproof, padded knees. They can store their gear in it. It's got adjustable inseam to fit about any kid body type. So now the kids can look just like mom and dad, get out there on the ice and chase down some fish and be comfortable about it. So clothing's a huge, huge point I think a lot of anglers sometimes overlook. And then, of course, you got all the other stuff, whether it's rods and reels and tackle. Oh, man, Ron, we could have an entire episode just on what's new from Clam Outdoors this year, from the rod lineup, the tackle lineup, a new spoon that's a true flutter spoon played off of that ribbon. It's called the ribbon leash. It's played off of the leech flutter spoon that everyone knows and loves. We have a bunch of new rod setups, new fish houses, of course. That's Clam's claim to fame. You have a bunch of new flip over fish traps. You have a new three.
It's insane. Yeah. I'm almost wish I hadn't asked.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got I'll give you a tutorial when you come by the booth at one of these shows, and just bring a water bottle and your running shoes and we'll get it done.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah, well, I'll do that. Just real quickly before we say goodbye, a lot of people say that sometimes we're catching these fish too deep through the ice and we're killing a lot of fish that we don't realize we're killing. We're letting them go, but they're really not surviving. I think that's in some ways true of crappies. If you don't shut their mouth, I think a few things like that. Is that something that a lot of ice anglers think about?
You know what, Ron? The hard answer is probably no. I wouldn't say they do think about that. And when I take people fishing as a fishing guide, I always try to, one, I'm a shallow water angler, and I do it for many reasons. I do it because I think the better fish are there, but I also want to preserve the fishery. When you get over those deep holes and those deep basins, you got to ask yourself, are you prepared to keep fish? And are you going to be selective on your size? Are you going to be that guy or gal that only has to keep the big ones? Because in my opinion, that's just not the right way to look at it. Because when you take that crappie out of 40 feet of water in some situations, yeah, you may be let go of fish that's going to die on you. And I always encourage people, if that's what you want to do, be ready to clean some of those smaller fish. Do the right thing. Take them home. Eat them. Add them towards your limit versus throwing back dead fish. It's unfortunate. But yeah, I think a lot of ice anglers, Ron, unfortunately don't think that way. It's fish swims away. They throw it down. Or I even see anglers at times shove them down the hole. Use a scoop to push them underneath the ice. And I'll tell you right now, you better not let me see you do that, because I'll let you know my feelings on it. But
yeah,
I think it's good. It's good education. Let them know that one goes in the bucket. Be a good steward to the sport. And hey, get the Hawaiian buns out and have a fish fry. Make a crappie slider out of it.
I think a lot of people, Matt, are meaning well when they let some of those fish go. They just don't realize they don't go down. They float underneath the ice. You can't see them anymore, but they're dead right there. But
right.
They're not doing it intentionally. But listen, hey, I enjoyed this chit-chat. Matt, I really appreciate your time. Matt Johnson with the Clam Corporation. Hope to see you on the ice. In the meantime, also want to thank Minnesota Propane, Connecticut, Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed, North Dakota Tourism, and my favorite place to put all my money, which is very little, Star Banks, of course. So with that, thank you again, Matt Johnson. And remember out there, introduce a kid to the great outdoors. This is Ron Shera with Minnesota Bound Podcast.